TV, comics, movie stars,
hit singles and some toys.
It's trivia and dirty jokes,
an evening with the boys.
Once is never good enough for
something so fantastic. So here's another Gilbert and Franks. Here's another Gilbert and Franks. Here's another Gilbert and Franks.
Colossal classic.
Gottfried, and this is Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast with my co-host Frank Santopadre, and we're recording once again at Nutmeg Post. Our guest this week is a stand-up comedian, actor, singer, and writer who has appeared in movies like Mouse Hunt.
You can stop right there. I could die after Mouse Hunt. Because that was I had three lines. I can die after Mouse Hunt. It's like DiCaprio after Gilbert Grape. He could have died after it, and he would have just been immortal.
You're like James Dean after Rebel Without a Cause.
Rebel Without a Cause and dead.
Yeah.
And vroom, vroom, crash.
Let him finish the rest of your intro, damn it.
And here's a film that I could say we co-starred in.
What was it?
This was Bob Saget's Farce of the Penguins.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, a lot of people saw that.
We've got two pictures together, Gilbert, and The Aristocrats.
The Aristocrats.
You got
right.
All the praise for it.
Yes.
I just got, he's a fag.
Well, we've been meaning. We'll discuss that later, these unfair rumors.
Oh, yeah, very unfair.
Unsubstantiated rumors.
I've got a wife and three kids. I've been licking pussy my whole life.
You've been haunted by this your whole life.
Haunted.
Yeah, someone started it.
It's ridiculous. I've got a ring on my finger. Look at me. I'm a married man.
He's never going to get through the intro.
All right, go ahead, keep going.
Oh, and Quiz Show.
Quiz Show, yes. I worked with Robert Redford. I had three lines again.
Yes.
But I was fantastic. I looked great. This is Mario Cantone, by the way.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that later.
You know, about Quiz Show, what's interesting is I improvised a lot of that, and I worked with Robert Redford. And I just, and like, he was directing me, and I'll never forget him putting his arm around me and walking me up the street. And I just looked at him, and if there was a bubble over my head with words, it would have said, I used to masturbate to you as a kid. I mean, not now. You look like, you know, Salty the Pirate. Now I'm my kid, Bob.
You kid him.
But it was the cover of the book Big Hoss and Little Fossy. Remember that?
Right, with Michael J. Pollard.
Little Hossy, whatever.
You bet.
Michael J. Pollard.
You bet.
Now, didn't you said something like, hey, tell me what my address is in Quiz Show.
You were the pesky guy in the phone booth.
It was before Ray Fiennes had released Schindler's List, so it was before I really knew how brilliant he was. But I did. I banged on a phone booth, and I was just saying, it's Ralph, what was it?
Ray Fiennes.
Ray Fiennes, but right. No, Van Doren.
Oh, Charles Van Doren.
I was going to call him Ralph Van Doren. It's Charles Van Doren. Yeah, I was like, hey, look, Charles Van Doren, everybody. Hey, Chuck, which street do I live on in Brooklyn? Yeah, because he used to, you know, be a whiz at trivia and questions. And I just chased him down the street and said, give me an autograph of my wife. I played straight very early in my career.
Do you want to get through this intro?
Oh, and you've been in TV shows like Men in Trees.
Oh, yes. I gave my kidney to a dying straight man in that
He's got
show.
A whole card.
A dying straight man?
A beautiful dying
what,
straight
man. Abbott?
No, no. No, it was actually... Well,
Harry Lou,
was actually, he was actually he was a straight man too, but he was also a
baseball players have very strange names.
he was a beautiful. That's true. I gave him my kidney.
You gave a dying straight,
a beautiful, handsome straight heterosexual man my kidney.
Yeah,
because he was dying, and I didn't even know him. How's that? plot.
Steve Rossi was a dead straight man.
No, I saved his life. I saved his life because he was beautiful. How superficial
Dan,
is that?
Dan Rowan's a dead straight man.
He's a dead straight man.
Gil, you gave an organ to Dan Rowan.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, several times.
Do you want to get
just
the...
to get on left?
You did give him. You did. Yeah, it was a Wurlitzer.
And I don't remember if Wheeler or Woolsey was the straight man.
Oh, what difference does it make?
I don't know. I
You
but he's got a whole card there.
Oh, okay.
Of credentials.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so Men in Trees.
Yes.
Chappelle Show.
Yes, that I became very hip with the kids, with the young, beautiful urban kids. They love me. But what's interesting about
Yes.
I can tell where people who what people know me from by who they are. So if it's middle-aged women, it's usually The View.
Never heard of it.
If it's young women, it's Sex in the City, or women with their skirts up to their twatsonis, you know, it's women who love Sex in the City. And then if it's these young black kids or Puerto Rican kids in my neighborhood, it's the Chappelle Show. And one time I'm on the corner, handsome young black kid with his friends and his girlfriend, and he comes up to me and he goes, "Yo, man, you that comedian?" I was like, "Yes, I am that comedian." He was so handsome, of course, so I'm so like, "Yes."
Yeah.
And he said, "Man, you the guy that does that Liza Minnelli bit. Yo, man, that's hilarious." And I was like, "How do you know about this Liza Minnelli bit?" Because I thought he was going to say Chappelle Show.
Oh, and of course, you here, what? According to the list,
yeah.
You were in Sex in the City.
Yeah, you buried the lead.
No reason. And on the Broadway stage,
oh, yes.
Which is very
shows.
Strange that you're being an extravagant Broadway show.
It's strange because I'm so subtle. Because
you're a pussy hound.
I am.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so is John Barrymore. But there's plenty of pussy hounds on Broadway. Look at...
I love that show, by the way. Pussy hounds on Broadway?
Hounds on Broadway. They're pussing around on Broadway.
I just saw Pussy Hounds and Dinettes. It's a wonderful
show. Oh, it's a good one. It's kittens. People dressed as kittens singing country.
And the new production of Death of a Pussy Hound.
That was really
excellent.
Riveting.
Yes.
Very tragic.
Yeah,
half of his hair was falling
Frederick
off.
Frederick March
bad.
And Jim J. Bullock.
Just the way all his hair was, his whispers, whiskers were bent.
This is the longest intro we've ever had on the show.
Couldn't sell a freaking kitten.
He's gonna list the shows you were in.
Right, what
Love, Valor, and Compassion.
Yes, it was called Love, Valor, Compassion.
Terrence McNally.
Compassion.
Yeah, Terrence McNally. It won Best Play that year for the Tony Award, and then it closed 4 months later. Closed 4 months later. But it was a great play. I replaced Nathan Lane in that. So another pussy hound.
I know.
The two of us.
Boy,
you can see us carousing.
There's just no cunt left.
No.
After
there is
you and Nathan Lane.
We have rubbed them all out, if you know what I'm saying.
Get through the rest of the
go ahead.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Steven Sondheim's Assassin.
Oh, yes, I saw
Steven,
you in
yes,
that one.
Yes, Assassins. I played Sam Beck, who tried to hijack a plane in 1973 and crashed into the White House to kill Nixon, and he never got off the ground. Never got the plane off the ground, and they killed him. Yes, that's a brilliant show. That was the New York Times.
I loved you in that. Neil Patrick Harris played Oswald.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Another pussy hound.
Another pussy
hound.
Oh, forget it. He's actually gay.
Yes.
Keep going. Get through this.
Go ahead.
And now, Patrick Stewart, gay?
No.
He's just English.
No, but he'll fuck anything with that bald head. Just head first. He dies.
He did the Tempest with
him. The Tempest with him, which they're actually doing again in the park.
Yeah.
And that's where it started, in the park, and then it went to Broadway, and I replaced John Pankow when it went to Broadway. But, yeah, they're doing it again, so you feel really old that they've – it's like, didn't they just do this? No, they did it, 17 years ago? Oh, my God. Go ahead, keep going, Gilbert. Take me down memory lane.
His
oldest regrets? No, I never did that show. Go ahead.
His own Tony-nominated one-man show, Laugh Whore.
Yes, you forgot the big bomb, the Violet Hour, which was also
the Richard
Assassins.
Greenberg show,
and,
right.
That was a big, big, big failure. But it was fun to do, tragic. And then I did Laugh Whore, which was nominated for Tony.
Which I saw twice.
Which you saw twice. Thank you, Frank. I'm glad you came twice.
I loved it.
Thank you very much.
He came twice.
He came twice.
Yeah.
He is gay.
I have it on DVD.
I have it on DVD.
He's so gay with those Sally Jesse Raphael glasses. Is anybody else in this room wearing red glasses? I don't think so.
Oh, that's my trademark.
Yay!
Hey, yesterday was my anniversary.
Happy.
I can play the straight card, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. One year. Coming out?
Of bliss.
That's it, right?
Yeah. You want to get to the red?
Welcome to the show.
One year with Caitlyn Jenner.
Fellow showbiz junkie and obsessive, the funny and multi-talented... cunt hunter.
That's right.
Mario Cantone.
Oh, hey. I love to hunt a cunt.
Mr. Hunt a cunt.
Yes, wow. That's what I am. I am.
Wow.
That was good. That was enjoyable to go through. Are we done?
That's
finished?
It. Yes.
That was an 18. We've got other people coming. Larry Hovis is coming in.
Oh, yes. It's Pride Month. President Obama.
Yeah.
Coined this month as Pride Month. Thank you, Mr. President. So we have an array of homosexuals coming in after me.
Oh, I don't know where to begin.
Take a letter to my lawyer, Mr. Hunter-Cunt.
And what where is it? And McCormick.
Yes.
Hunter-Cunt.
And McCormick. Tell the story of... what's that from?
Love story.
Ollie McGraw.
Yeah, sure.
Preppy. She was brutal.
Yeah,
that.
Eric Siegel.
Yeah. I love her, but she wasn't good in that.
Now, what is your opinion on Ally McGraw?
I saw her in person recently, and she looks beautiful. But I don't think she was ever a great actress. It's a terrible thing to say, but I'm saying it, you know. But, you know.
She didn't make a lot of films. No, she didn't have a long career.
No, she didn't. Well,
what was she in?
Winds of War on TV with Robert Mitchum.
Yeah. She was in that tennis love story with Dean Martin's son.
What?
Remember that? Players?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Dean Paul Martin.
That's right.
Look it up, folks.
What's your opinion on Catherine Ross?
I love Catherine Ross. Raindrops keep falling on my head. That she was fantastic in that.
She didn't do a lot either.
She wasn't a great actress. And Dr. Doolittle, fantastic in Dr. Doolittle.
Catherine Ross.
She did that song that Leslie Bricus wrote about all the wonderful places in the world. I forget it. I was obsessed with that movie as a kid, Dr. Doolittle.
What happened to Catherine Ross?
You're asking me. She's in my loft. I don't know. Really? I don't know what happened. She's alive.
She's one of those actresses from the 70s that, like, Karen Black and who did you say? Ally McGraw.
Yeah.
And Margot Kidder that didn't do a lot.
Yeah, who was in Summer of 42?
Jennifer
O'Neill.
Yeah.
Directed by Robert Mulligan.
Yeah. Yes.
Beautiful movie. Who made
To
Kill a Mockingbird. Give me a hint.
I forget. He worked with Mulligan a lot. He was beautiful. Beautiful photography. I love that movie.
James Wong Howe. I just like to say that.
Yeah.
He's a famous cinematographer.
HUD.
Right, HUD.
It was
Robert Surtees?
That was it.
Yeah. He was another famous cinematographer.
Carl Freund?
Carl Freund? He was the director of cinematography on I Love Lucy.
Was he really?
He was, and he directed The Mummy.
How do you know this? I thought I knew a lot.
Because he directed The Mummy.
The Mummy.
He did.
And did the film work on Dracula.
Well, that's fascinating.
This is too much information.
I did not know this. And I like these movies, but I don't know them. I don't know the credits like you do, because what else do you do but sit around reading credits?
This is the show.
Horror films.
Let's ask you,
I can make fun of you because I get made fun of for knowing things.
Oh, you can mock us.
You know, I know. I'm just busting your...
Now, I know this about you. I know the answers to some of these questions, but Gilbert doesn't and our listeners don't. What did you watch as a kid?
I watched H.R. Puffin stuff.
Yes.
I was obsessed with H.R. Puffin stuff. I wrote to Jack Wilde, and he actually wrote me back.
Jack Wilde. Remember him, Gil?
Remember Jack Wilde?
Oh, wait.
He was the Artful Dodger.
Artful Dodger
in Oliver.
Oh, my God.
He was in H.R. Puffin stuff.
Yeah.
And he had that little fruit named Freddy, who was like, Jimmy, yeah, help me. I don't feel very good. You don't remember Jimmy?
He was a teen idol for
Freddy?
A few minutes,
oh,
Jack
really
Wilde.
Yeah. Yeah, and Billy Hayes as Witchy Pooh. I like that.
Yeah, Billy Hayes, we remember.
A lot of the Marty Croft stuff. You know, Lidsville.
I heard.
How's that for a topper?
I heard a story about Sid and Marty Croft.
What did you hear? Tell me.
That one of the guys on the show that would do voices.
Yeah.
His father was shot to death. And the next day, he was like, you know, he was a little off, of course.
Yes.
His father just died. And Marty wanted to fire him. And so Sid said to him, Marty, you can fire him. His father was shot. And Marty said, we didn't shoot him, Sid.
Well, let me tell you.
I hope that's true.
In 93, when the earthquake happened in California, was that 93?
The Northridge quake, yeah.
I was in London.
94,
with,
maybe.
With my future husband, and we were sitting in the lobby of the hotel having tea, and there's this guy, and he starts talking to us, and he introduced himself, and he said, I'm Marty Croft. I'm like, you're Marty Croft? I'm like, Sid and Marty Croft? He says, yeah. I'm like, what? Well, I clung on to him like a leech in a bad J. Michael Vincent movie. I was like, he took me around. I said, I just want to see Big Ben. He literally did this. We went to Harrods. We shopped around. And then I said, I want to see Big Ben. We get in a taxi. He makes the taxi like stop in traffic. He goes, get out. I get out. I look at it. He goes, you saw Big Ben. Now get back in. And I got back in. And
Marty Croft gave you a guide into
it. Wow.
He was a really nice guy.
Wow.
He was really nice. I remember it. So he was very – so there's my story to counter that.
See?
They're both still around. In fact, we talked about getting them on the show.
Now, Jan Michael Vincent. Where is he now?
It's awful. His legs have been amputated, I think. He's really.
Ooh, are you serious?
I don't know. Maybe that's not true. Don't quote me on that. It looks like they should have been amputated. That's all I know.
He's Michael Vincent now.
Rough. I mean, he looks. And let me tell you, I had a picture of him when he was doing the world's greatest athlete, like in his prime. Next to my bed in a tie-dye T-shirt, and I would just look at him every night. And I was so in love with him. And to see what he – and look, everyone ages except for me.
Yes,
and,
you look terrific.
I'm Peter Pan.
But he was like old drinking and drugs.
And he had like two car accidents.
Oh, yeah. There was one movie they showed a clip from where in the middle of the movie he had a car accident. So they had to write in – to the movie, how...
Oh, it's like Monty Clift.
Unrecognizable his face. And they put in a line like where he goes, you think I like walking around looking like Frankenstein?
Wow.
It was really scary.
I didn't know he had it in the middle of a movie. Just like Montgomery Clift, Rain Tree County.
Right. That's right.
Yep. But it's interesting about Rain Tree County with Montgomery Clift. You kind of can't tell the difference that much. Because he was so messed up with drinking and drugging that he was starting to go anyway.
Didn't somebody tell us a story? And we have a guest on the show that said Monty Clift went knocking on a friend's door and they didn't know.
That one I had heard.
Yeah.
That Montgomery Clift, Merv Griffin, also pussy out.
He loved the vagina. He had one gold-plated in his dressing room. It was like on a...
Yeah, a regular Bob Guccione.
He couldn't get enough. No. But Merv Griffin said that one day, like, there was a knock on his door, and he answered the door, and he saw it like a total stranger standing there. And he said, you know, can I help you? And the guy goes, you don't know me either, do you? And he turned around and walked away, and he realized it was Montgomery Clift, and it was right after the accident. And he was going from house to house of people he knew to see if anyone recognized him.
That is the saddest story.
Yeah, we like to bring the show down to a screeching to depress our guests as much as we can.
Where are my dolls? I need my dolls! Yeah, he was. I read both of those biographies. I was a big fan of his.
He's kind of a tragic figure.
Yeah, he was. He was beautiful when he was young, I'll tell you that. He really was. And he's a hell of an actor. Hell of an actor.
I'm trying to think of two things that Jan Michael Vincent was in. He was in the world's greatest athlete.
He was in The Mechanic with Charles Bronson.
The Mechanic,
World's greatest athlete.
And Hooper with Burt Reynolds. Hooper, he was one of the stuntmen. Did he have a series?
No, he was in that surfing movie with Gary Busey.
Big Wednesday.
Yeah, he was in that too. And he was it. I'll tell you, when I first saw him, was on the Banana Splits. There was a cereal. Not that you eat, but they showed that it had a cliffhanger every week that was called Danger Island, and it was directed by Richard Donner.
Wow.
Yeah. Ah.
And he was in that, and he was beautiful. And there was a big hunky black guy. That was a feast for young homosexual children.
Danger Island.
William Catt.
Oh, loved him.
Was in Problem Child 3.
He was?
The TV movie.
No way.
Yeah.
I love that you brought up William Catt after. Oh, because we said Big Wednesday. And
right.
Carrie, he was played.
And
he,
Carrie.
Oh, my God. Yeah, with the long, curly hair.
And right. Carrie, he was right. wonderful in that.
Yes.
Right. One of the great horror films.
Hey, you like
time.
That film.
Oh, they're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you. Piper Laurie?
I heard that Piper Laurie, when she was doing that, thought it was a comedy.
She didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
She didn't.
She thought it was a comedy?
Yeah, she thought it was so ridiculous.
She thought it was ridiculous. Meanwhile, she was.
She's pretty terrifying.
The reason that movie worked was because you had those two performances, Sissy Spacek and her, and they were both nominated for Oscars.
Yeah, because I think when she was doing it, she thought, you know, this is just like a comedy. It makes no sense. Yeah.
Well, you know, she wasn't kidding around when she was, I should have killed myself the first time he put it in me. But then it came at me with his Rod House whiskey breath, and it was all over me. And I locked it. Don't go to the prom, Carrie. Your dirty pillows are showing, Carrie. They're all going to laugh at you. I love that movie.
Don't forget the pillows.
Oh, your dirty pillows.
Yes.
Your dirty pillows are showing.
Did you see the remake?
I did. They both weren't good.
And I remember that Sissy Spacek said in an interview that Brian De Palma promised her he wouldn't be showing her vagina in the movie. And then during the screening, she said out loud in the screening room, thanks, Brian.
Yeah, because it pans right down to her merkin.
You like those De Palma movies.
I
we
do.
Talked about them on the
I
phone.
I love Blowout, I think is great. Nancy Allen and John Travolta. And Dressed to Kill.
And Carrie, too. I didn't see.
The second one?
No, Carrie, the remake.
Which one? The TV one or the movie one?
With Chloe Grace
Moretz.
Yeah, with
Julianne Moore.
Her lips were too pouty and she was too sexy, that little girl. And for me to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I worked with her in Jack and the Beanstalk.
Really? Which I never saw, Gilbert, and that's my
thing. Yeah, surprisingly.
No, that's my thing. Who did you play in Jack and the Beanstalk?
I was a goose, of
you
course.
Were?
I walked around a big goose outfit.
Do you remember the TV specials as a kid? The Prince Street Players? They did Jack and the Beanstalk and Emperor's New Clothes, and they were like a theatrical production. They were in a New York theater company for kids, and they I think CBS televised them.
Not that wasn't
the Prince Street Players. I never saw them again.
Not Leslie Ann Warren says.
No,
that was a whole other thing.
Oh, who was it? Sissy Spacek, who was putting on like fairy tales?
Shelley Duvall.
Shelley Duvall.
Fairy tale theater.
She did in the '80s.
Those were good.
Yeah, and everyone did one. Yeah, Jeff Goldblum was in it, and a lot of people did them. Yeah, yeah.
You did the Jack and the Beanstalk. You did was with James Caron. Our guest,
James Caron.
I have to.
Chris Lloyd.
It's literally Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yes,
you're the goose.
Yes.
Who's the giant?
Oh, okay. The voice was James Earl Jones.
Was it an animated thing?
No. It was. I was walking around in a goose outfit.
So you've been a goose and a duck.
Yes.
This is a theme to your career.
There's a theme.
Geese, swans, ducks, Affleck, ducks. Yeah, a parrot. It's right. All birds.
Yes.
Yeah.
You like those De Palma films? You like Blowout? You like Dressed to Kill?
I love Dressed to Kill is wonderful.
You like those, Gil?
Do you know them?
Yeah, although I always kind of felt like I enjoyed watching them. But when you see like The Fury and...
Sisters.
And all those, it's like... I enjoy it, but I'm also watching it going, Brian, that's a really good scene. Yeah, excellent, great camera work there, Brian.
He lifted a lot from Hitchcock,
everything.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, but I guess, you know, that's what I kind of liked about him. But I loved, best thing Angie Dickinson ever did.
Angie Dickinson.
She was beautiful.
Yeah.
She was great when she got plowed in the cab by that guy.
Right.
And then she gets murdered because she had sex. Thanks for the lesson, Brian.
And Nancy Allen, Brian De Palma's ex-wife.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. And he married her.
I know.
He married her at, right after Carrie, I think.
And then
put her in a couple of things.
Who was the other girl in The Fury?
Amy Irving.
Who
married Steven Spielberg.
Spielberg.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah. 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 She was in Fury. She was in Carrie. Yeah. And then that was it.
Since you brought up Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. The first time I ever saw you.
No, he brought up cock.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
I did.
Not Hitchcock. No, he doesn't care.
I said
about.
I was hitched to a cock. That's what I said. You're not listening, Frank.
You told me on the phone you're not a big Hitchcock person, but you do love The Birds.
I love Hitchcock. I'm a big fan, but I'm not. There's some, like, I haven't seen everything.
Right.
Like, I haven't seen Saboteur, which I heard is great.
I haven't seen Saboteur.
No, but I mean, Rope, the gay one. That Arthur Lorenz did the screenplay for you.
The
know?
One that was based on the Leopold and Loeb murder,
yes.
The child murder.
And it's all done in one take.
Right, one take.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater. That was one of the ones that was tied up for years. That and Rear Window and The Trouble with Harry were not available for years.
We had Billy Mummy on
Boston Space. I was obsessed with
him. Yes, we had him.
He hated Hitchcock.
What did he do for Hitchcock?
Hitchcock Presents.
Oh, he did a Hitchcock Presents.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said that he was doing his own, basically stand-in work rather than get a stand-in. Oh. And he was a kid, and he couldn't stand still. So Hitchcock went over to him, and with not joking, he goes something like, "If you don't stop moving, I'm going to nail your feet to the floor, and blood will run out of them like milk."
Yeah, and he was terrified. That's just what he told us.
And he said, had Hitchcock at the end of the scene said, "Thank you," or "I was just kidding," he wouldn't even be remembering it
didn't.
Now.
But he
didn't.
I think he was a cold son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Well, talk to Tippi Hedren.
Yeah.
He tortured her, supposedly. That HBO movie with Toby Jones and Sienna Miller.
How was that?
I love that movie.
It's so weird.
He tortures her in it. And then supposedly it was true.
Like, Toby Jones does it first, and then they do the identical movie with Anthony Hopkins.
But the tone of those two movies is completely different. One is very kind of heightened and almost comedic, the one with Anthony Hopkins and Helen Mirren, and then the other one is dark with Toby Jones. I like that one better.
And what was the thing with Hitchcock? Well, we know he had an obsession with blondes.
He did. He did.
Did he torment all of them?
But
Ava Marie Saint?
Ava Marie Saint loved him. I mean,
so Hedren was the one that he ran afoul.
He really went after.
Did he have a weird thing about women in general?
Yeah, of course he did. Because I think, he was married to this woman and he
Alma.
Probably wanted to fuck these blondes. I mean, he was married to kind of a frumpy woman and what's he going to get, even though, there's plenty of fat guys that could have beautiful women on their arm because they have a lot of money and power. But I don't know why he didn't. And during that time, there wasn't as much of that as there is now. Like, you can – if you're a fat, ugly, old, rich man, you can have whatever – you can't have true love.
Yeah.
But you can have plenty of – vaginal juices.
Oh, I wish I was fat.
Me too. Me too.
That's what's been holding me back.
I'm going on the Marlon Brando diet.
Oh. Now, Marlon Brando, was he and Wally Cox blowing each other?
He sucked my cock. I let him.
I saw you doing remember with the Christian Brando trial?
Oh, yeah.
You used to do the bit.
I did when he was like on the stand and he was like just doing, I called him Humpty Brando. He was just like rocking. My son is a good kid. It's not his fault. Please take me. Is the court stenographer going to finish that blueberry muffin? Because I'm very hungry. But I loved him. I loved him.
Yeah.
And when he comes on the screen in Streetcar Named Desire, you just go, what? There's only one other person in the history of Hollywood, I think, that does that. And his name is Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy.
Oh.
That son of a bitch. First of all, he's as talented as he is beautiful. And he comes on screen.
People have described me that way.
Yes.
You are
that talented and beautiful. You're as beautiful as you are talented.
If only you were fat.
Forget that. No, he is not fat. He's getting there.
But Brando and Tom Hardy. But
I think he has that kind of magnetism, huh? That kind of instant.
God, this. Did you ever see The Take? It's a British series. It's a 5-part miniseries based on a novel. It's called The Take. He's magnificent in it. He hasn't even shown you yet. I mean, I saw Mad Max, and I loved him in it, but those kind of movies to me, they're assaulting. And I can't even – I'm so old now. If I see them in IMAX, my ear blood – the ears – the blood dripping out of my ear. I can't – it's so – I just – they'll be like, how was the movie? It was assaulting. It was assaulting. It's so loud. I just can't – I can't
now,
do it.
I remember getting back to Pussy Hound Merv Griffin.
Yes.
There's a segue.
Yes. I remember when – when he would have Bette Davis on this show, she would wear a miniskirt.
Bette Davis would, huh?
Yeah. She would go on the show. She looked, I mean, half her face was frozen.
Oh, this is post-stroke.
After the stroke?
Yes.
Yeah,
Bette did. Half of her face was totally frozen.
Yes.
She weighed 2 pounds, and she would wear a miniskirt.
Yeah, which was on Johnny Carson, too. Like, those 3 appearances on Carson she did were unbelievable. The first one she did was before the stroke, and the second and third one were after the stroke. And she would just come on when she was when they shut her mic off on the Oscars.
Yeah,
she railed about Marty Poinsettia. Was that his name?
Marty Pesetta.
Pesetta.
Yeah.
Recently, just passed.
Yeah, he just passed.
Well, good, because now he is dead like me. Miss Davis would say, "Oh yes, Marty Poinsettia shut the microphone off on me because he said I am not awake enough, alive enough, young enough to be the nominee." Well, I have something to say to Marty Poinsettia. You know nothing of directing. I've worked with the best, and I have worked with the worst. And you, sir, are totally and utterly the worst director I have ever worked with.
And then when Johnny Carson asked her about who was the worst actress she's ever worked with, she went, he said, "Who would you never work with again?" And she said,
$1 million, Faye Dunaway.
Wow.
And then she went off.
We were doing a motion picture for television called The Disappearance of Amy Simple McPherson, who was a preacher in her day, and I played her mother. Well, we were on the set. Thousands of extras sitting there waiting with their boxed lunches in their laps, waiting for Miss Dunaway to appear. Finally, 1 hour, 2 hours, Miss Dunaway graces us with her presence. Well, I said, "Did you get your eyeliner on correctly, Miss Dunaway? Is that what took so long?"
Oh, perfect.
And I sang, "I've written a letter to Daddy," for the extras with their box lunches as we were waiting for Miss Dunaway to grace us with her wretched presence.
We've had a lot of impressions on the show, but no one's done post-stroke Bette Davis.
I'm the only one that does Bette Davis after the stroke.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Wretched.
Oh, can you do that speech?
What? What speech?
Wait, that scene.
What's
you
scene?
Could probably do both of them. Where Joan Crawford finally gets angry and yells at Bette Davis in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Well, did she ever really get angry at her?
She's upset.
Well, she's... Oh, Jane. Oh, I know what she did.
Yes.
Oh, well, she comes in the house and she finds that note. And Joan's like shaking, and Betty goes,
"Under no circumstances show this letter to my sister Blanche. You ain't ever gonna leave this house, Blanche, because Daddy didn't want you to."
"Oh, Jane, you wouldn't do these terrible things to me if I weren't in this chair."
"But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair. Now, if you don't eat your parakeet or your rat, you don't get any ginger."
She didn't say that, but she
now,
did.
Now, didn't
that.
They hated each other.
Here's another story that I will tell with my stroked out brain and face. I still have my brain, let me tell you. Miss Crawford came to the set every day on Baby Jane with a different set of breasts. It was like dodging the Hollywood Hills. Every day, I had to pick her up and drag her in one scene. She strapped weights around her waist like she was smuggling hashish across the border. And it wrecked my back. She was a wretched woman. But I think it's terrible that a daughter wrote a book about her. My daughter, B.D. Hyman, Big Deep Hyman, wrote a book about me. Terrible. And I was still alive to see it. It was heartbreaking. It really was. She found Jesus and wrote a book about me. That is not very Christian to write about your mother.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, God.
All you got to do is Victor Buono. You could do the whole thing. Oh, you could do it on. So, you could do the whole thing on stage.
He was another one. Was he gay, Victor Buono?
No.
That's the
no,
rumor.
Pussy hound.
What? That's our code now.
I yeah. No. Victor Buono, Major League Major Pussy League. Hound.
He's come up before.
Yeah.
So we got all kinds of things here. We were going to talk about Irwin Allen. We talked on the phone about, well, because Billy Mooney we had, and we talked about Irwin
that's,
Allen in
oh,
Lost
right.
in Space. And you
Boston
love the time
space.
Tunnel.
I like the time tunnel, but I that was James Darren was in that, right?
Yeah, we were just hanging out with James Darren in Jersey at Gilbert did a nostalgia show.
He was a handsome guy. He sang too, did he not?
Yeah, he was a singer from Philly, like Frankie Avalon and those guys.
Well, isn't that fascinating?
But he had an acting career.
He sure did. No, I like I liked you know, The Towering Inferno. I was very obsessed with James.
Uh-huh.
Faye Dunaway was in that. And Jennifer Jones and
there was Fred there was whole, that whole spate of,
whole
of Irwin
thing.
Allen disaster
and,
movies
you know,
in the 70s.
The Poseidon Adventure is Manny.
What I remember about the Poseidon Adventure was Stella Stevens in her underwear.
Yes. Oh yeah,
of course
yeah,
you did.
Climbing all up and down the ladder in her underwear.
Yeah.
And Ernest Borgnine was her lover.
Yeah, he was the cop, the retired cop. Or
yeah,
the,
she was a hooker.
She was
right. And
right.
he was a cop.
Oh, and that's how they met.
Right, he busted her.
That's right.
Right.
And Shelley Winters.
I can swim. I can do it. I got a medal. I can do it. I got a swimming medal. I can do it. I'm looking. I can't get up this Christmas tree. Mrs. Peter Pan, I'm not.
She climbs the tree.
Did you ever read her book where she was like, I fucked all my leading men. Everybody. I did. Jane Francesca, Tony Franciosa, Laura McCall. I fucked her too.
Tell Gilbert you got to hang out with Lauren McCall.
I did hang out with Lauren McCall.
The end of her life.
I met her a long time ago at a benefit, Nothing Like a Dame, the Broadway benefit that Phyllis Newman does every year for the Actors Fund. And the
Phyllis Newman, there's a name.
Oh, I know Phyllis very well. I love Phyllis. She and her daughter, Amanda Green, who's a brilliant writer.
Adolph Green's daughter, right.
Yep. She wrote a few Broadway musicals and has a lot more to come.
Remember Phyllis Newman, Gilbert?
She was
like the talk show, the game show guest extraordinaire.
And everything.
Yeah. And she's done Broadway and she did movies. Miss McCall, I used to just, you know, I don't have the picture, but there was a picture of me in a red sweater and my head is leaning on her lap and she's patting my head. And I don't have that picture. So if anybody out there has it, get it to me. But anyway, I would sit at her feet and ask her questions about Hollywood. And, you know, I asked her about The Mirror Cracked and working with Barbara Streisand. And she said that Barbara was tough. I don't even want to tell the story because it's terrible. But I can't. But I love Betty McCall. She was the voice of Turner Classic Movies.
That's right, she was.
Turner Classic Movies. I'm Betty McCall, and you're listening to Turner Classic Movies.
I remember that a few years ago, they were doing a string of commercials, and they wanted to make it Betty and, you know, Bogey and McCall.
Yeah.
And so she agreed to do it. But, you know, Bogard was long dead, so they got an impersonator. And they realized this was late in her life and that her voice was much deeper than the guy who was doing Humphrey Bogart. So he'd be like, you know, "Hey, Benny," and she went, "Yeah, Bogey."
Yeah, she had a gruff voice. I know, and you heard it kind of. She smoked. You heard it kind of, you know, get gruffer and gruffer. I just was watching How to Marry a Millionaire, and her voice even then was it was gruff. You remember she did the Fancy Feast commercial for the cats?
Sure. Oh, my God. Yes.
Fancy Feast. You're going to love it. Your cat will, too, and so will your pussy. Fancy Feast.
What did she tell you any tales out of school that you can share?
The Streisand one I can't tell.
Okay,
it's just too.
We'll beat it out of you once the mics are off.
But I really loved Miss McCall. Any opportunity I could, I would say, because you know this is the thing. You know, Shirley MacLaine was quoted in a Times article about when she was doing a movie with Cameron Diaz and. What's the other one? Colette. Colette.
Right.
Oh, she said, I forget and, the know, name of that. Yeah.
I forget what it was.
Was that the Curtis Hanson movie
like
In Her Shoes?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She said, you know, and I respect this and I really agree with this. She said, if I was a young actress and I was with me, I'd ask questions. I'd want to know.
Oh, I heard her say
and
that.
And she,
yeah.
You know, she said that's all that Cameron Diaz cared about was dodging the paparazzi with Justin Timberland, and she literally said Timberland, and, which I love. She said that, and she said, and Toni Collette didn't say anything. And she, you know, and it's true. It's like if you're working with them, I would be on. I was talking to Morgan Fairchild about that. I did a thing with her one time, and we were talking, and she did a lot of TV movies. She did one with Betty Davis. She worked with Jimmy Stewart. She worked.
She had a long career
in the 70s. Yeah. You know, she was kind of. When they started to do television, she was doing a lot of TV movies, and she was. Betty Davis loved her. Like, they loved her because she asked questions. She wanted to know. She was interested. You're sitting there with history and Hollywood royalty, and how can you not want to know? And I don't think these kids today, I sound like an elderly.
It's okay.
Piece of shit,
that's
but, you know, I don't think they give a shit. I mean, I'd be like, and if I didn't know who they were, I'd fucking find out.
That's part of what this podcast is about.
Yeah,
I know. We're both so curious.
Teach, educate.
Yeah, we feel it is a little educational.
And what's wrong with these
kids today?
Kids, they don't listen to a word
they
you
say. Kids, they are.
I did that in high school.
I got dueling Paul Lynn's here.
Martha, remember his show, the Paul Lynn Show? Martha, get me a martini. Martha.
Yeah, and he on the Paul Lynn Show, I think he had a wife and kids.
He did.
Of course.
Yeah. I watched it. I loved it. It was only one season.
Didn't you write? You told me that you were in high school and wrote a script?
I wrote a sketch.
Or a sketch.
A Paul Lynn sketch based on that show.
Who played his wife? I'm trying to remember.
Wait. Gene Simpson.
Wait, on as many episodes as I can,
yeah.
I have to tell a Paul Lynn story.
Do you have one?
He's told this about 12 times.
Can I say it's about his biography on A&E was not very flattering.
I don't think he was that nice a guy.
They didn't say nice things about him. I met him once. He was very nice.
Really?
Go ahead, yeah. But I was a kid.
I heard, I think it was, who was the Hollywood Squares guy?
Marshall?
Peter Marshall, yes. I think, was with him, and they were in a dressing room of the
Gold Diggers.
The Gold Digger dancers. And Paul Lynn walks in and goes, "This place smells like cunt, but don't take my word for it."
He's told that on every show.
And a producer on Hollywood Squares when I was on also worked on the original. And he told me that Paul Lynn, during lunch, everyone was having a nice time eating and telling jokes. And Paul Lynn would be bombed out of his skull, and he was a major Jew hater. And he would be there going, "Oh, those fucking Jews. They're the reason I don't have a career."
No.
He's told that so many times on this podcast that Craig Bierko said, "That's become your Carol Burnett earlobe tone." What's your trademark?
When I met him, he was playing the South Shore Music Tent in Cohasset, Massachusetts. And he was great. And I waited in line and got his autograph. And there I was, this little kid. I was like, I don't know, 13, 14. And I had a Chorus Line t-shirt on. And it was very hot at the time. The chorus line was the thing, you know. Uh-huh. And he, I don't know, he signed my program, and he looked at me and was like, great shirt, you got good taste, great shirt. And I'm sure he was thinking, huh, wait till you grow up and start sucking cock, you little fag. I mean, I could just, you know, that was the bubble above his head.
Oh, and I remember talking to Dom DeLuise.
I love Dom DeLuise.
And Dom DeLuise, when he was working Hollywood Squares, one time invited Paul Lynn over the house.
Oh, Jesus, bad
And
idea.
He was
Can't wait to see where this is
family
going.
Family and everything. And Paul Lynn's there with his boy toy. And Paul Lynn says, you know, oh, I got a call. I have to film something in Hawaii. And the boy toy goes, oh, I would love to go to Hawaii with you. And Paul Lynn goes, in front of Dom DeLuise's entire family, he goes, I know why you want to go to Hawaii with me, because you want to fuck me in the ass.
Wow.
Wow. Subtle.
Oh, I heard he was a brutal drunk, that he was really.
Yeah.
It's a shame because he was so talented.
And what about Dom DeLuise? We talked about this the other day, you and I.
Yes.
When you called
me
Sunday.
I never met him.
Yeah.
I met his son once, one of his sons. I think it was Peter. He was very nice. I thought Dom DeLuise was hilarious. And I don't know. I mean, was
– One of those guys that, you know, had a family.
He had a family, and he was married to his wife, Carol, for years. And if he was, I don't – certainly didn't seem very active in it at all.
Yeah.
I don't think –
Well, we're not here to start any rumors.
You know, I don't know. I mean – You're the one that brought it up, Frank. Shut the fuck up. You can throw me under the bus, piece of shit. I love Dom DeLuise.
What about Rip Taylor?
Look, everybody has...
Straight?
I know Rip, and I love Rip.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Well, it's never been proven.
No, it hasn't.
No.
And, you know, as far as Carol and Dom, everybody has their own rules to their own relationship. And whatever your rules are, as long as you're not hurting anybody or each other, it's none of anybody's business. And I believe that, no matter what. I mean, you know.
I'll go with that.
Yeah. No, go fuck yourself.
Now, since we brought up the birds, Gilbert and I have to, and this was something that you did. That's the one. That's the first time I saw you on Caroline's Comedy Hour, where Gil and I actually did a bit on that show in 94. The first time I saw you do stand up when Jenny was hosting, Rich Jenny.
Oh, yeah.
And you came out, you did that bit, and I said, I got to know this guy.
Yeah.
And you later had the kids. Do I ever have this correct? You had the kids on your
Steve
kids
Pytale,
show?
My children's show. Yeah, yeah, you didn't mention that in my intro.
Gilbert and I talked about it this weekend.
5 years. 5 years.
We remember.
Children's show. 5 years of booze and dope. Yeah. With
Steam
all
Pipe
the
Alley.
Children. Oh, I love the children. I hate kids. But I used to go in the control room in between takes. You know, not so much the kids. The parents were just as bad. But I found some very talented kids on that show because we would do sketches and stuff. Yeah, I made them do the birds at one point.
Hilarious.
We did the birds. We did sketches like Alley of the Dolls, where I was like Chucky, but I was Neely O'Hara, but I was Chucky O'Hara.
Uh-huh.
We did sick stuff. And we did Richard Simmons is like in Misery, where he kidnapped Famous Amos and Richard Simmons.
It was too hip for the room.
And you used to actually put on blackface.
Never.
No, you never put on blackface?
No, that was Tommy Davidson in Bamboozled.
Oh,
okay. It's easy to mistake.
Because I remember you were always doing Sammy Davis Jr.
No, I did, but I never did it in blackface.
Oh, never.
I knew better. I was.
Yeah.
It was in the 80s, and even in the 80s, you didn't do that.
What was the Sammy skit?
It was Find Sammy Davis Jr.'s Eye in the Pie. But his name was Sammy Jr., and I was like, hey, man. And every week he lost it in a different way. It was always a month. I didn't do it every week. We did it like once a month. It was on every Sunday. And I'd be like, find my eye in the pie. And I'd be like, find my eye. In the pie. It's my not a pig star. I don't know. I'd make that stupid song. And then I would say to the kids, it would be a different thing every week. But one week was like, you know, today I was at a wedding and my friend Ella Fitzgerald came in.
and she hit a high note, and kapowie, my eye flew out of the socket and into the Viennese table, right into this chocolate pie. And the kid would have to find, the kids had no idea. They would look at me like, what? They literally had like, you know, like on Charlie Brown when the mouth is like straight and there's no expression.
They didn't know who Suzanne Plichette was?
No, of course not. But Sammy Davis Jr., and then I remember we did a contest. We did a contest. The end of the show, you have to write in and tell me how Sammy lost his eye this week. Was it Ella hitting a high note? Was it some other reason? And one kid literally wrote in, it was in a car accident, which is how he really
God.
It was like, you don't win because that's not what we were asking.
Not creative.
No, not
hey, you. Can you sing the Disorderly Orderly theme song?
No, I cannot. What is that?
Sammy Davis
sang the
theme
song. You're right.
To Jerry Lewis's the Disorderly Orderly.
No, I didn't know that.
I barely knew the.
But, my new opening number of my new show. I'll be doing in Fort Lauderdale at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts Saturday night. This coming Saturday, the 12th. My new opening number is a song that he sang.
Which one?
Well, Frank did it too. I'm gonna live till I die.
Oh, I know that song.
But Sammy's version of it's the best.
What about the Beretta theme?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
Well, I was just
oh, my God.
It's deeper. That's what I would sing on the sparrow, but I would say, sing Find My Eye in the Pie. It was a whole parody of that song.
All right. I guess that's why we both just thought of it at the same time.
Wow. I was just opening my mouth to say the Beretta thing.
But I would sing it as Find My Eye in the Pie instead of Keep Your Eye on the Sparrow.
You want to talk about a couple of bad biopics?
Sure.
You and I were talking about biopics. Gilbert and I love to talk about them. Gilbert loves to talk about bad exposition in biopics.
I loved in the Kevin Spacey, where he's Bobby Darin.
Oh, Beyond the Sea.
He's much too old for that.
And John Goodman's his manager.
Yeah.
So Kevin Spacey goes, I've failed. I have no career. And John Goodman has to say, where it sounds like he's saying it, but it's just information to the audience, he goes, what are you talking about, Bobby? Don't you realize you were picked Performer of the Year 1964, 65, 67, and 68? You won 7 Grammy Awards. You've got a god. 12 gold records. You were picked top Vegas performer.
Great exposition.
Bad.
Yeah, really hidden well in the scene.
And,
huh?
And in there was one about Robin Williams where he's supposed to, a guy playing Robin Williams is sitting with a guy playing Robert Evans. And the Robert Evans guy goes, so, Robin, are you happy? And he goes, well, yes, of course I'm happy. I'm currently filming Popeye with iconic film director Robert Altman.
There was a Robin Williams biopic?
Yes. When they were making all those TV.
Good Lord. I remember the Freddie Prinze one. Can you hear the laughter?
Yes.
I remember that there was a Robin Williams biopic. Wow.
That's scary.
And I remember there was the Three's Company biopic.
Yes.
That was a great one.
That was a great one. And the Partridge Family one was really
good. I remember the Partridge
Family
one.
The best one was Charlie's Angels. Did you see that biopic on TV?
Didn't have
that was one of the best ones. It was actually really good.
Really?
It was really good.
And
yeah.
Because I have to talk over all my guests and give favorites
I love it.
A million times before.
I don't care.
My favorite death scene of all time.
Oh, bad biopic.
Is in the Bud and Lou, the Abbott and Costello story with Harvey Korman and Buddy Hackett.
Ever see it, Mario?
No.
Truly terrible.
And Buddy Hackett as Lou Costello has a heart attack and he's lying in the hospital bed really, really weak. And Artie Johnson from Laughing shows up as his agent and he reaches under his jacket and hands him a cup He goes, I brought you a strawberry malted. And Buddy Hackett as Lou Costello takes one sip very weakly and goes, "You know, Eddie, I had a lot of strawberry maltage in my day, but this one's the best." And he falls down dead. It was great.
You got to see it. It's truly terrible.
It's like you'd think neither one of them ever saw an Abbott and Costello routine when they're doing
the 70s, when they were making those bad Hollywood biopics. Gable and Lombard.
I remember that. I remember that.
Yes.
That was Joe Clayburgh and James Brolin.
And James Brolin. Yeah, yeah. And then there was the one we talk about.
Rod Steiger, W.C. Fields.
W.C. Fields and Me with Valerie Perrine.
Oh, God. My God. That was a major motion picture.
Yeah,
too,
it was
right?
a major motion picture. Arthur Hiller,
well,
I think.
You know, Lenny was a good one. It wasn't bad.
Lenny. Well, there's some good ones.
There's some good ones.
You like the Liberace movie.
We talked about it.
Oh, that was fun.
They were both great. They were both great. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that they were, you know, straddling each other and kissing. And I can't believe that Matt Damon was plowing Michael Douglas in the ass. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then he was like, "Do you want some poppers?" I'm like, what? And my whole thing was like, you're fucking Hollywood royalty in the ass. You're fucking Kirk Douglas's son in the ass. Get off of him. He's a pussy hound.
Big time.
Oh, he is. I love Michael Douglas. He was on the View. I was co-hosting one time, and he was on. It was before he announced his mouth cancer, and he announced that he was going to do this film with Matt Damon playing his lover, and I was like, wow. But then what a brilliant stroke of genius to cast him.
I remember when I heard about it, I thought, I never would have thought about that, but once I heard it, I thought, it's perfect. Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Makes perfect sense. He was pretty great. And Matt Damon was magnificent, too. He's a hell of an actor. He's so good. That's a talent. That's a Boston talent.
Since I have two great mimics here with me, you want to try something fun?
Yeah. I'm Fred Travellina, and you're George Kirby.
Oh, God, I can't even
This is a scene from.
Does anybody
this
have
is,
any glasses?
You need some. You need some glasses.
Yeah, I do.
Can you see?
Oh, no,
it?
You.
Can you see?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah. This is a little bit of from A Star Is Born. Gilbert, obviously, you're the James Mason.
Yes.
And Mario's going to do the Judy part. Just read the part in the box.
Give me your glasses.
Let's see. Will that help?
Literally,
yeah.
I can't see. Because really, you printed it for a friggin'. All right. Who printed this thing? Seriously? I mean, I'm not that blind, but this is ridiculous. You guys suck.
Can you make it?
I'll try to fucking make
it. This is for an ant to read.
It really is.
Maybe Frank can print them bigger.
No, never mind. There's no time for that now. All right.
Okay.
Okay. okay.
A Star Is Born.
Okay. Okay, so Norman has finished looking through Esther's scrapbook. you know as much about me as I do myself, but you see how long it's taken me to get this far, and now all I need is just a little luck.
What kinds of luck?
Oh, the kind of luck that every girl singer with a band dreams of. One night, a big talent scout from a big record company might come in and he'll make a record.
Yes, and then?
Well, the record will become number one on the hit parade, and I'll be played on the jukebox all over the country, and I'll be made. End of dream. Oh. Don't say my lines, James.
Oh, sorry. I'm very sorry. There's only one thing wrong with that.
I know. It won't happen.
No, it might happen pretty easily, but the dream isn't big enough.
Hello, Mr. Main. You turn up in the strangest places.
Don't I now?
And you're cold sober.
That was great.
Well, marvelous.
That was great.
You make the most of it.
He stepped on my line. I'll never work with
you. Oh, yes. My favorite part of that movie was when she's accepting the Academy Award. And he goes, "Congratulations, my dear. I seem to have made it just in time, didn't I?
I had a speech all prepared in my head, but it seems to have gone out of it. Well, there's no need to be formal. I know all of you on a first-name basis. The point is, I need a job. Yes, that's it. I need a job. And not just drama. I could do comedy as well.
That's brilliant.
Nicely
and
done.
And then he hits. And then
oh, yeah.
He hits her by accident.
Yeah. Oh, he says, God. Play something. And he swings his arm out and slaps.
Well, my favorite was, the night gets bitter, the stars have lost their glitter, the wind grows colder, and suddenly you're older, and all because of the man that's got away. The mill had never true love will be the same. I hear the trumpets.
Oh, beautiful.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this. Now, is there a big difference between the early young Liza Minnelli and the old Liza Minnelli?
Well, yeah, and I only do them towards the end. Like I can do Judy, like from like the late 50s on.
Yeah,
and Liza, yeah, well, Liza, she talks like this now. When she was younger, she just talked like this.
Sterile cuckoo.
You know, those days. In New York, yeah, was one of sure. my favorite movies. Jimmy, no, Jimmy. I love that movie. It's so flawed, but I love it.
Sterile Cuckoo, where they did Come Saturday Morning.
Come
yes,
sure.
Saturday Morning.
I shoplifted that 45 from a store when I was a kid, and my sister made me take it back.
With my friend. Will Saturday spend till the end of the day?
But Liza,
just I and my friend.
My friend.
Will Saturday? Will Saturday smile in our Saturday style?
What the fuck were those lyrics?
And then we'll move on.
And we will remember
long after Saturday's gone.
Come Saturday, maybe this time I'll be
different
lucky.
Movie.
My favorite cabaret.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Maybe this time he'll stay. You know, Lady Peaceful Lady. You know, I was very close with Fred Ebb of John Kander
and
Fred
Ebb. I'm a huge fan of Kander and Ebb.
I love John. He's a sweet man. I was very close with Fred the last 7 years of his life.
Now, do you believe
what?
The story that came out that Joel Grey is gay?
He came out.
Yeah. And I can't buy it.
Oh, really?
He's a pussy hound.
That man's a pussy hound.
He's a
look at what
major.
He produced. That beautiful Jennifer Grey.
Yeah.
Someone could be a faggot and produce that.
Oh, God.
You know, they did a thing. It was very interesting on the Tonys last night. They introduced the musical Fun Home, which is about a closeted father. And it was very funny that they kind of, you know, they did it as a reflection on their life, you know, comedically. But it was really kind of cool that they did it that way, I thought.
Sean Hayes from Will and Grace claims he's gay.
I've seen him inside so many vaginas. More than my gynecologist.
You guys want to read this one?
This is not one scene.
This is just a little snippet of dialogue from the African
Queen.
Wait a second. I think you know which parts you're playing.
The Queen.
Okay.
Let her rip.
Okay.
Just what's in the box.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. We can't do that.
How do you know? You never tried it.
Well, yeah, but I never tried shooting myself in the head, neither.
Okay, next scene.
What are you being so mean for, miss? A man takes a drop too much once in a while. It's only human nature.
Nature, Mr. Arnott, is what we are put in this world to rise above.
Well, I ain't sorry for you no more, you crazy, palm-singing, skinny old maid.
I beg your pardon.
It's great.
And I get better.
I can go back
That's great.
To that.
Okay, try this one.
Oh,
okay.
What's this one?
This one in the box.
Oh, this one in the... Okay.
You know why did the chicken cross the road?
God has not forsaken this place, Mr. Allnut.
Wait, we're reading two different ones.
Read what's in the circle.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, you didn't read it was in the circle. You didn't color in the lines.
You know why did the chicken cross the road?
Oh, are we reading that one? Okay.
Yeah.
Where is that? I don't even know where that is.
In the square.
Oh, it's in the bottom?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. I beg your pardon.
Never mind, miss.
Didn't we just do that one?
You just did that one.
Okay, go ahead. That's all right. This is what happens when you get older, Gilbert. Go ahead.
All right, this one's going to throw you guys for a loop.
Well, okay, oh.
Now, we're going to get creative.
Oh.
Yes.
This is a scene from Driving Miss Daisy.
Who am I playing?
Julia Child.
Oh, okay.
And Gilbert.
Okay.
You have your choice. It continues on the next page.
You have your choice, Gilbert, of doing Peter Lorre or Jerry Seinfeld. Just have fun with it.
Okay. So where is
this Driving Miss Daisy. At the bottom. It continues.
Oh, okay. From here?
So I'm doing Julia Child? Okay.
Yeah. No.
Wait. Oh, that's circled in. Yeah.
So I'm Julia Child.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody's wishing the Georgia Power Company a Merry Christmas.
Oh. You can't
go. I bet. Miss Florine got them all beat with a new house.
If I had a nose like Florence's, I wouldn't go around wishing anybody Merry Christmas.
Yes'm. I tell you, I do enjoy Christmas at their house.
Of course, you're the only Christian in the place.
Well, they got their new cook.
Florine could never keep help. Of course, it's none of my affair. Too much running around, if you ask me.
Oh. I didn't begin. The garden club, the junior league, that, as if any of them would give her the time of day, but she'd die before she fixed a glass of iced tea for the Temple Sisterhood. I just hope she doesn't get it into her head to sing this year.
Oh, Lord, look at what Miss Florine done.
It's her grandfather, old man Firetag. If her grandfather, old man Firetag, could see this, what is it you always say? He'd jump up out of his grave and snatch her bald-headed.
Jump out of his grave and snatch her bald-headed. Miss Daisy, you ought to go on away from here.
All right, next time you need to print these bigger
frames. I will do it.
You're fired.
This is the last one.
Who printed them? Oh, another one so I can fucking
My wife
across.
Printed them some too small.
Oh, okay.
I'll blame it on her.
Oh,
here's
geez.
The last one.
Okay. Oh, my
this
God.
Is, this one is...
Okay, this is from this is when Harry met Sally.
All right.
And we're going to do it as...
Carol Channing
and Hervé Villechaize.
Okay.
Let her rip.
Go ahead.
You realize, of course, that we could never be friends.
Why not?
What I'm saying is, it is not a command in any way, shape, or form. It's that men and women can be friends because the sex part always gets in the way.
That's not true. I have a number of men friends, and there is no sex involved.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You only think you do.
You say I'm having sex with these men without my knowledge?
No, what I'm saying is they all want to have sex with you.
They do not.
Do-do.
They do not.
Do-do.
Do not. How do you know? How
How do you know? How do you know? How do you know?
Because no man can be friends with a woman that he finds attractive. He always wants to have sex with her.
So you're saying that a man can be friends with a woman he finds attractive?
No. You pretty much want to nail them too.
What if they don't want to have sex with you?
Doesn't matter, because the sex thing is already out there, so the friendship is ultimately doomed, and that's the end of the story.
Well, I guess we're not going to be friends then.
I guess not.
That's too bad. You were the only person I knew in New York. Do it again.
She did that in Thoroughly Modern Miller.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
We never did Barbara Streisand and Walter Matthau.
In Funny Girl.
Yes.
I don't know. I didn't print the dialogue.
That's very funny.
Unless you want to wing it.
Yes.
Oh, that was...
Mrs. Sigbone.
We'll do it next time.
I don't want to be in the finale.
Oh, my God, that was funny.
Oh, my God. That was exhausting.
Really, really funny.
I love you, Porgy.
So we should wrap it up.
Really? Yes. What time is it? Oh, it's 7:23.
You've got to go.
Yeah.
You've got stuff to do.
I can't believe we've been here for like, it's almost. Well, I got like.
Okay, here's one I'm just walking into.
What?
Do you have anything you want to plug?
I'm doing my concert, my one-man show with my band. You know, I have an opening number. I do a lot of musical stuff in my show. I'm not a pure stand-up like some.
Yes. I used to be,
but I turned on myself. but I love music.
Laugh-O-R had a lot of songs
Laugh-O-R
in it.
Had a yeah. lot of music in it, and my husband writes a lot of the original
Jerry,
stuff.
Give
my
Jerry
husband,
a plug.
Jerry Dixon, he who was an If Then on Broadway with the Del Dazim, or a Dina Dazim. He wrote me some good stuff. But, I'm doing the Broward Center for the Arts, the Parker Playhouse, Fort Lauderdale, Saturday, June 13th.
So, sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And so I'm Gilbert Gottfried. This has been Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast with my co-host Frank Santopadre and worldwide cunt hunter, Mario Cunt Hunter Cantone.
Wait, I was supposed to send you out with the Gidget theme song.
You want to take us out? Gidget or Patty Duke? Oh, your choice.
If you're in doubt about angels being real, I can arrange to change any doubt you'd feel. Wait till you see my Gidget. You want her for your Valentine. You're gonna say she's all that you adore, but stay away. Gidget is spoken for. You're gonna find that Gidget is mine.
Wow.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks for doing the show, buddy.
I had the greatest time. I can't believe it flew by like that.
We love you.
I know. Your beautiful wife is over there. And
thank you, Frank Bredarosa and Nutmeg. There.
Just, you know, he slept through the whole thing, but it was okay.
I'm a lucky man. I'm sitting here with two comedy geniuses. I'm very entertained.
You're sitting here with one anyway. I don't know about Gilbert.
Thanks again.
I adore you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.